Welcome to a Wholeness Podcast, a healthy home for hair professionals and our clients, where health and happiness is the top priority for those within the hair industry. Serving those who serve and giving the hair industry one great big hug. Hello, I'm your host, Fliss Downs, a barber, yogi, and meditation teacher. Come on in. Before I crack on with today's episode, if you haven't done so already, please hit the follow button on Spotify or on iTunes and leave me a star rating and review. By doing this, you will be helping me reach a wider audience and get the message out there sooner rather than later. I'd also like to mention that this podcast is proudly sponsored by Earth and Soul Pizza. If you are local to or travelling through Bairnsdale, use my promo code LOVEFLISS. That's LOVEFLISS. And get yourself a free large pizza when you buy one. With locally sourced produce and food exceptionally made by the team at Earth and Soul Pizza, be sure to get your wholesome, blissful pizza. In today's episode, I welcome my cousin Wayne Smith. He's a boxing coach, entrepreneur, and a charity fundraiser. A man who does incredible things for communities far and wide, taking boxing fitness into schools and hubs, but not only that, fundraising for amazing causes. In 2021, he raised funds for Ringside Charitable Trust by cycling from Land's End to John O'Groats with a grand total of 1,407 kilometres. And now he set himself a challenge to complete the London Marathon on Sunday the 21st of April this year in a wheelchair to raise funds for Demelza, the charity that supports his family since his gorgeous daughter Esme got diagnosed with SMA, a genetic disease known as spinal muscular atrophy. Esme is probably going to live her life in a wheelchair, and he says the least he can do is 26.2 miles. Growing up with Wayne, little did I know the true hero and inspiration he'd bring to many people's lives. He's disciplined, determined, a go-getter, he holds firmly a never-give-up outlook on life. We used to play in our grandparents' garden, see each other at birthday parties, but then as we got older, our connection fizzled out. Until our adult years, we've reunited to find myself, Wayne, and my brother all actually have a fair few things in common, and we have great conversations when we do see each other. What you'll be listening to today is actually a recording of an episode myself and Wayne recorded back in January 2021. I was wanting to start a podcast long before then and had finally thought I'd do something about it, but then I didn't pursue it until last year when I created a Wholeness Podcast. It's my honour to bring this wonderful conversation to you that Wayne and I had back in lockdown days and to share his story. I aim to get Wayne back on here in the coming month or two to hear his download of this next big challenge he set himself. He's already hit his goal of raising £10,000, but there's still a week and a half to go, so please do find his fundraising link in the show notes to donate anything you can. So what are we waiting for? Let's get into it.
I was thinking earlier on, Wayne's been in all my life. And obviously we grew up as kids and with Charlotte and Denise and Ryan playing in the gardens, birthday parties and everything like that. And then we got older and then we didn't catch up so much and for a period of time we left each other's lives, didn't we? And then it's only really been over the last few years that we've really got back in touch with each other. And it was just mainly, I'd say, because of maybe, let's say, social media possibly. And you know,
it was social media, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course it was. And then you had your little one, two and a half, and then I went off traveling again, and then we were sitting there for Grandad's 90th birthday party. It was so nice to see you and Ryan talking, because you've got your cycling fundraising on at the moment, and I wrote it down here that you're doing the length of the UK.
Yeah, 2 weeks, doing it 14 days, 70 miles a day.
Oh, wow.
There's some boxers that are going to join us. I know in Bristol, the Sanagars, Chris Sanagar and Lee Selby and that are world champions, are going to come along the route, apparently.
That's so good. So that brings me round to, you've been in the boxing industry for 15 plus years now.
I started boxing when I was about 15, because I'd done karate before that.
Yeah.
I'd done karate until I was about 12, and one national title. I was competing at 10. So 10, 11, 12, I competed. Yeah, that was it. I stopped karate when I was 12. Now I went playing rugby. And then I started having my hand in boxing at about 15. I was on and off, in and out of different gyms. But I didn't compete until I was 20. And then I fell 30 foot through a scaffold and damaged my back.
Mm.
And that put me out of competing, but I wanted to carry on, so I took all my coaching badges.
Yeah.
And then from there, just coached at club level, coaching club boxers of all different standards. And then I took the county job on, so I was a Kent County coach.
Yeah.
For 3 years, I've done that, and then I moved on to England, and I've become an England coach, and I've done that for 4 years. And then obviously got the businesses up and running, boxing in schools and community centres, and we've become the UK's number one provider on that. When I look at the other organisations that do what we do across the country, like the last time I looked, the closest to us, they were delivering 14 programmes a week, whereas we deliver 65. We've got 18 schools and 10 community programmes, and that's through lockdown. That's all virtual. So wow. We've got 28 to 30 programs running a week now through lockdown. So,
yeah.
So that's why we're UK's number one, because we're the ones that are doing the most.
Definitely. Because you've got a team of six, right?
Yeah, a team of six coaches in Olympia Boxing, in Sport on Your Doorstep. There's me and Mark, head coaches, and then we've got three coaches there. Yeah, got quite a few lads at the moment working.
You've been representing the UK at international competition levels, right?
I've done England coaching, yeah.
Yeah. So you're coaching English boxers.
Yeah, I was on the England team for about 4 years before I came off of it, just due to business, because I was just too busy. Not just business, also having kids.
Yeah,
just,
of course. Because
all the England stuff is at weekends. It was getting too much that I'm working all day in boxing in schools, and I'm out in here because even the club that I coach at is a very busy club. Like, we've got a lot of national level boxers, and so we're out every single weekend as it is at shows competing. And then when I'm not doing that, England wanted me, so then I'd just be away all the time. So when the kids started coming along and everything, I just said that's enough now.
Of course.
Stop doing that. It just comes a time where you just think, oh, I'm doing this all the time. Like, my envision, I always wanted to get to Great Britain. I wanted to be a GB coach and go to the Olympics and stuff like that. That was always my dream. But dreams change, don't they? And it's not just politics involved and stuff like that. It's worse if your face fits and all of that. But
you've got to go
I'm
with
still
it.
Living my dream. I might not have made it to GB standard, but I don't get up and go to work every day. I don't class what I do as work. I get up and do what I enjoy every day. No one tells me what I do. If I decide I want to sit on the sofa and watch crap TV for a day, that's what I'll do.
And when you first got into the boxing side of things and you saw that this is something that you could do as self-employment, at that point, did you have a mentor back then? Was there any fear behind going into this as a self-employed person or creating a business?
Yeah, so it started actually. There's a guy that lives in Bristol, my mate James, and he was living in Kent at the time. He's a Scouser. His wife is from Bristol. And they were living in Kent at the time, and he was the development officer for Kent Boxing. So he was a club support officer, so he'd also develop community projects.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he came to my old business partner, Lee. He started it all. I think Olympia Boxing started as Kent Educational Boxing, is what we called it.
Okay.
It was basically just a bank account just to receive funding and to deliver community projects. So, for instance, it all started as in boxing clubs. Even though they're completely community-based and voluntary-run and everything like that, still a very daunting place for someone to walk into. So what happened was we started creating outreach projects that where you went into community centres, youth clubs and stuff like that, and started delivering it as a sport, like in a non-contact version, to then use the tool of boxing and engage the young people, give them a positive path, and then they would see how much fun and how they can, because some people have a knowledge that they think that when you walk into a boxing club that they stick a gum shield in your mouth and put you in a ring straight away, which it doesn't happen. It's never happened. Yeah. Maybe years ago it might have happened, but it certainly doesn't happen now today. Like, you have to learn how to defend yourself. So it all started there. James set it off and then invited me in. I just started taking my coaching badges. Like, I said to James, oh, I'm dead keen to do some extra outreach work if you've got it. And then we started. And then it started snowballing. I think if it wasn't for Emma having a good, stable job, because originally when we started with Olympia Boxing, it was just literally a couple of sessions a week. And then what happened was Lee and myself both got made redundant at the same time out of our jobs. Right. And I said to him, there's a niche for this. There's no one's delivering boxing in schools. And there is some real community programs that you can make out of this for adults, for disability, for everyone. So I reckon we should go for it. And he was like, yeah, all right, let's have a go then. So we had a crack at it and we kept going. And it just became one of them things. I was just knocking on all the doors. If they said no the first time, I'd wait a week and go back and knock on the door again. Right? And I just kept going and going and going. And the next minute, as soon as you started getting into one place or one school and they started seeing the work that was being delivered and the changes in the kids and the positives out of it, it's just word of mouth and it just started snowballing. And then it just became the way it was. But yeah, it's the same as anything though. Yeah, of course there's fear. There was fear at the beginning. They're always... Like, whenever you're going into anything on your own, there's fear. But what you've got to remember is don't have no regrets in life. Don't be scared to fail. All the most successful people have failed multiple times. There's a saying, fail your way to the top. Right? And it couldn't be truer. Fail your way to the top. What would you rather do? Just keep getting things wrong that teaches you how to... That's how we learn things. Get things wrong. Get it wrong. Keep growing. Well, that didn't work. Right, I've got to readjust. I've got to do this. Yeah. Oh, shit, that didn't work. Right, I've got to do it this way. And you just keep moving and moving forward. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how big the steps are forward, long as forward is forward. Like, so you just have to keep working at things. And that's what I've done. Like, I had a lot of, like, the gurus and everyone that we listen to, they say, like, the most important word is no. They say, which I understand their concept of their meaning with that, because which I have started to adapt. And more of my no's now are to do with meetings where people want my time, which is not productive my end. Mm-hmm. I don't have a meeting now till the afternoon because I know I'm more productive in the mornings.
Sure.
So I get all my important work done in the mornings, or I get my own training done in the mornings. Yeah. At the moment, I'm out on the bike. And if I clear my schedule now and it's like that, I know I've got nothing to rush for. I can just get my morning done and I hit all my goals that I want to do. And then my afternoons are set up for meetings. And then I get invited to numerous meetings across Kent now, like, all the time. And some of them I have to say no to because just simply I know they want me there, but it doesn't change what I'm trying to work at. Like, it's not productive. For instance, just an example, last week I sat on a safeguarding meeting and it was to do with the police and youth groups, and they wanted me on the meeting to discuss what we've got on offer for young people across the county at the moment. Well, it was a lesson learned there. I won't be doing their meetings again unless they put me at the beginning, because my slot was at the end. That meeting went on for 3 hours. I was sat on Zoom for 3 hours. Like, and a lot of it was nothing that was to do with me. So that was a waste of 3 hours. So that's where I've started learning to say no now. Like, or I get people to work on my terms. It's just what you learn through business, and the best way to move forward in that aspect. Don't get me wrong, there's them moments, there's them meetings that when you know you need to be at 9:30 in the morning, don't get me wrong, but I do my best to schedule my day out now to make my life work productively as well as it can do. That's how I've found it. But you learn this as you go on. You're just continually learning all the time. If you're not open to continually learning, then you might as well retire, because you won't succeed.
And did you see that this was going to be your path? Obviously, you had that dream of being with the Olympia GB, right? I mean, how old was you when that kind of dream came about?
Just as soon as I started coaching, I think. Okay. So I started coaching, took my badges at 24, and then I think when I noticed what I could do, what I could achieve through coaching, I think that's when the dream came in. It was about 24, 25. Because I think I represented... So what's that one up there? That's 2015. So 2015, I was with the England team there. So I was 28. And I think at that time, I was the youngest England coach.
Wow.
That had ever been an England coach, I think. I think from what I was told by other coaches that were there, I was the youngest England coach, because most of them are obviously retired boxers and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure, of course.
So, yeah, that was always the dream to get up there. But I've been up to GB many a times. I've had the pleasure of watching Anthony Joshua train numerous times. I've met lots of them. I've worked with lots of them. I've took future stars that are on the telly now. There's three of them that are now all over BT Sport and stuff. One of them I cornered three times and he's going to be a world champion and stuff like that. So I've worked with lots of them. So I've had that pleasure. And it's... Yeah, I'd have loved the GB role, but it's a life role, that is. It's not just like a job. You're based up in Sheffield. You'd have had to have moved without a doubt. Like, at one stage, me and Emma did discuss it because I kept applying for the jobs. And we did discuss it. And I said to her, if I got that role, what would we do? Like, because the full-time coaches on GB, like, I spoke to one of them that had told me one time, I said, how much was you away last year? He said, put it this way, last year I was away 343 days.
Wow.
From his house.
Yeah. Right?
So like, that shows you how busy it is being an international coach. And so like, I said to Emma, I said, if I get this job, like, what are we going to do? Because it's either a case of I am away all the time or we move to Sheffield where I'd be at home every day.
Sure.
Apart from when I go abroad to competitions.
Sure, of course.
And with her job as a social worker, she was ready to move. Like she said, we could move. But I never got the job, so that was the end of that. But that's not the end of the world.
Of course.
If I'd have moved to that, I wouldn't have what I'd got now. Like, exactly. I wouldn't have built what I've built now.
Completely. When you look back in the past as well, had a dream of yours to create a family as well, because you was striving to become a GB Olympic boxing coach, but then also you would have been striving to create a family. So I think sometimes you get to a point in your life where you do have to choose as such. And you know, when it came to that crunch, how did that make you feel? And you know, how did you really know that, okay, this is, we're going to focus on having a family? And
it's kind of a natural progression. I think it was accepted as soon as you know that you've got a family coming. That's more important than any career or such. So don't get me wrong, I am career driven. But when you're having kids, that's more important than anything. I don't feel resentful about it. There's no regrets on it. I'm always lucky I've represented England. That's why that's up on the wall behind me. You know, I've represented.
It's a very proud moment.
So there's no one can take that away from me. I've done it, and that's what I wanted to achieve. I got onto that level. Now I will always continue delivering, like coaching my community clubs. Like at my boxing club with my amateurs there. I hold a professional license. I've gone down the route a couple of times with different boxers that it just hasn't worked out. If that came in the future, then yes, I'd look at it and I'd strive to create a world champion. But if that doesn't come, I won't be regretful about that either, because my intention was always to be an Olympic coach or the highest level amateur coach that I could be, which I've achieved.
Yeah.
I've worked with... Like our team of coaches in the last 3 years produced 11 national champions, 2 European champions, and an Olympic youth champion. So I've achieved everything that you can as an amateur, regards of boxers. But we haven't done amateur boxing since March last year because of the pandemic. My shoulders have never been better than they are now for not having to do any padding and stuff like that. My body's in a great shape for it. But if I don't go down the professional route with a professional boxer, it wouldn't bother me, because I've got more things I'm striving for now, like of as course. An entrepreneur, like with the businesses.
Of course.
My aim and goals at the moment now are to provide the best life I can for the kids, and that's through making as much money as possible. And there's no point beating around the bush. My work, what it does, provides great opportunities for the community. Everything I do is free for the community, so I work really hard on securing funding and stuff. Mm. But ultimately, it's about securing for my family and making as much money as possible. Because you need that, unfortunately. We need it. As much as people say, oh, it's not all about money or anything.
It is.
It's not in a certain sense, but the overall sense is it is about money, because without people say, oh, money doesn't make you happy. Well, try not having any money. You see if you're happy then, because I bet you're bloody not. Like, you need money to do things in life.
That you want to do, definitely. And, you know, when you're limited financially, you're limited to the experiences that you want to be living. You're limited to what you can give as well, as a service to others, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, it's like you're fundraising for the Ringside Charitable Trust. Mm. You possibly have to put some money into that, in terms of you're going to be spending money on your hotels.
Yeah, well, I'm footing the bill. You know? I'm just buying the bike and getting all the equipment put me back a few grand already. But personally, Olympia Boxing will sponsor the accommodation, so that takes that limp. But that's going to be, well, 14 days. If you put 100 quid on a day, it's 1,400 quid, isn't it? So it's a big expense doing this challenge, but that challenge is, as well as I want to make a difference and know I've done my bit, because it's the only charity that's set up for ex-boxers, like for injured ex-boxers. It's the only charity that's set up for them. And I know I'd have done my bit in helping get the rest and rest care home set up.
Definitely.
The challenge itself is a bucket list challenge that I've always wanted to do. I actually wanted to walk it, is what I've always, like, that growing up, all I ever wanted, like, that was a bucket. You know, when you think of bucket lists, what, like, challenges that you want to complete, like when you think, I want to jump out of a plane. No, I don't. I've got no interest in jumping out of a plane, right? But you get them silly little things, don't you? And you think, like, but one that's always been for me is I've always been intrigued by, and I've followed, like, long before even setting this challenge, I followed people's journey, like, on YouTube and stuff like that, that have done it, like the Land's End to John O'Groats.
Okay.
I think it's a remarkable challenge. And I always wanted to walk it, but my hips are absolutely knackered now, so I know there's not a chance I'd ever walk it. As soon as I started cycling, and I realised that cycling didn't hurt my hips, I thought, right, I've got what's going to do it. And I'd done the London to Brighton last year, raising money for the boxing club, and I thought, what can I do this year? And I thought, right, well, it's time for the big one, isn't it? Let's get it done.
Yeah, so 70 miles a day, and it's going to take you 14 days, and it's the length of the UK. I guess, so that's going to be your biggest challenge to date.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'll just literally, I'm in the mix of pushing forward, like, really foot down with the training now. So I've been training since, I think it was September, wasn't it?
Because
we met, when did we see? On
about the 14th.
The 14th,
yeah, something like that. 14th of September.
That's it. I've done it that month. I've done it on the 6th, I think, or the day before, the 8th or something like that. The day before Granddad's birthday, I think. And
So you did it before we met?
Yeah, I'd done it the week before. It was exactly the week before we met I did it. Mm-hmm. And so I decided before I'd done that challenge, I was doing this challenge this year. Yeah. I'd already decided, but I hadn't announced it because I had to put so many things in place, and I had to speak with the charity because I knew I wanted to do it for them. And so I've been training since probably October.
Yes, I saw one of your posts on
tinkling around. And then obviously lost Mum in November, which obviously spun everything up in the air. So
Absolutely.
But now I'm back to it. Yeah, so yesterday I was out. I did 32 miles yesterday. I'm out tomorrow for a 20. And then as of February onwards, the mileage starts picking up every week then. Yeah. And then I've got a disgusting 50 miler for 7 days, about 3 weeks out.
Wowza.
Before the initial challenge is my final hard week. But yeah, going to be very hard, but good fun.
Yeah, massively. And are you following a training plan to achieve
it? Yeah, only one that I've wrote out myself, basically. I just wrote out a periodized training plan, just like what I would do for my boxers, really. And just added in miles and speed sessions and hill sessions and stuff like that, and then long distance sessions.
Yeah.
And it's more of a guide from what I did for the London to Brighton, because I wrote that training program out as well, and sometimes I do longer than what I've got wrote on the plan and stuff like that. Things change, don't they? But as long as I've got a guide that I know that I've got to hit certain goalposts, then I know I'll get there. But it's going to be tough, don't get me wrong, especially carrying all my own gear. It's definitely going to be tough.
Oh,
but
it is.
It's going to be fun, though. It's going to be fun. I'm just hoping it does. Completing the challenge is going to be in there for me. That's mine. I just hope it does its justice for the charity. I put on the Just Giving page, I want to raise $5,000. But in truth be told, I think it should be double that. I think it should be a $10,000 job. It's a big challenge.
And as long as
the people get behind me, we've had lots of discussions that people are reaching out to people in the boxing world and TV. So like the likes of Sky Sports and stuff like that. And national news, and I've already been in national newspapers and magazines to do with the boxing, pushing it. And hopefully, the closer we get, the more publicising they'll
get up.
Yeah. It's always the same with fundraising, though. When you're doing challenges, it's always the last week and right on the day when the money really rolls in. Yeah, that's right. I'm setting everything up on my bike. I've got an iPhone holder that goes on my handlebars and stuff. So I'm hoping that we can get it that. So we've got the likes of the news and stuff like that, because they should get onto it. Like I say, boxing's a big thing in this country. Across, it's like the second or third sport now.
Wow!
So with the right coverage, this should blow up. It should blow up, and it should go big. And that's what we're aiming for. And the people in the charities, like the trustees of the charity, like some of them are former world champions with good profiles. So and
definitely
discuss with them, and they all say that they're going to help push it out there. So,
fingers crossed
they do. And then maybe we might have the TV phoning me up as I'm riding, finishing.
Yeah, that'd be incredible.
I moved it. I changed the day on it because I was going to start on a Saturday, which would have finished on the Friday. But looking at the times that I cycle in, I think I'm going to be finished most days between 2 and 4 p.m. So I'm thinking, if I was finishing at that time on a Friday, most people would be at work.
Yeah.
So you won't be seeing it and stuff like that. Whereas if I finished on a Saturday,
it should
hopefully get a bigger, better coverage. There'll be people following it. 2 weeks is a long time following videos and stuff, isn't it? People that are following it, but the last day will be when all eyes go on it, really. So
definitely.
Fingers crossed we make it as big as we
definitely
can.
And do you feel everything that you've learnt within your boxing career and how you've become a coach, a businessman, and all of those skill sets that you've learnt within that 15-plus year career, have you also then put them into your everyday life as well?
100%. Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. Without boxing, I don't know where I'd have been. I was in a bad place before boxing, hanging around with the wrong people, doing the wrong things. And without boxing, I don't know where I'd have been. It was my two coaches that became my mentors that changed my life. Everything that I've learned in boxing transcended and transformed straight into my daily life, without a doubt. Like hunger, discipline, focus, the lot. It all comes from that sport, 110%.
And throughout that time, and where you are today, has there been any one big thing that you've learned that, and you say, this is the biggest lesson that I've learned throughout my journey to date?
I'd say never quit. Never give up. The only time you ever give up is when you've given up. And so you can't give up on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. If it doesn't work, it's like running into a wall, isn't it? You run into a wall. What are you going to do? You're going to turn around and walk back, or you're going to try and run through the wall or over the wall or find a way around it? You have to. There's obstacles in everyday life, isn't there? You can't. If you give up at things, it's just you're not going to succeed at anything. You won't succeed. You have to find a way around it. And I suppose it's not different to having an extraordinary life or a successful life, because having success, it's what you determine as success, isn't it? Everyone has different terms of success and stuff like that. But I know with the way my life's set up and everything, that if I gave up a thing, I won't get anywhere at all. And also, I've got two kids to teach now that they need the drive and willpower in life, that they fall down, they got to get back up. That's what I'm doing with the boy at the moment. He's he runs around, he's it, and he's falling over and hurting himself. Stuff like that. Come on, mate, get up, get up and get on with it. You can't just fall down and just give in. Like, that's what I would say. That's my biggest learning, is never quitting.
Yeah, it's a powerful message.
I don't think that was taught in like boxing or anything like that. I suppose that was a big thing. I think Dad's quite hard driven, so I think I probably learned that from him, I'd say. But I've done that in the same, all the way through everything. I took some hidings in that boxing ring a few times. Like, I took some big hidings where, like, you could have easily have jacked. I could have easily have gave up and said, no, that's enough for me, I'm getting pounded here. But instead, you just have that mentality, no, well, I've got to see this out. Like, I could win this. Anything could change. You can win. That's the thing. And that is the same in life, you know. You might be down on everything, or down on the cards, as they say, but like, everything going absolutely wrong. And then there's one little light switch that changes everything. And then you're winning, you know. So you've got to keep that hope. But if you throw the towel in and you jack in, then you haven't got a chance, have you, of winning.
Yeah, I love that message.
You have to win at life.
Good. It's powerful, because there's so many times that we can give up and say, I give in, I give up, I can't do this anymore, what's the point? But when you've really got that focus, and I think keeping focus, again, that can be another really hard thing, but when you've got the right mentors around you, when you've got the right mindset, when you know that you're going to take step backs and then you're going to take a step forward again, it just keeps the momentum rolling, doesn't it?
Everyone needs a break every now and then. Don't be scared to have a break. And I'm the worst for that. I should listen to that advice myself, because I am the worst for that. I think if I'm not doing something all the time, then something's going wrong. It's going to fall apart, but it's not. It's not. Like, I beat myself up. If I'm really tired, I know it, and people around me notice, but when I'm dragged down, like, I'll have moments, not because things are going wrong, just because I'm spinning far too many plates and I'm exhausted and I just need to have a rest. And I'll have moments where that is. And even I know myself, and I might just go, do you know what? That's it today. I'm not doing nothing. I'm staying in bed and I'm going to watch Netflix. That's all I'm doing. Like, I don't care what you want me to do. I'll turn my phone off. Like, no one can get hold of me. But I will still sit there and they're nagging my head. And I go, well, you should be doing this, should be doing that, should be. But it's all right. It don't matter. I go back tomorrow and I get on. It's one big thing I've been focusing on this year is creating, like I was saying earlier, was creating my daily schedule and sticking to my daily schedule. Like I said to Emma this morning before I was leaving the house, I said, I'll be home by 4:30 at the latest. I said, but I'm actually open. I'll be home before, because I want to stick to what I've got to do. Yeah. And then I'm going to go home. I'm not going to create any more work for me, because that's what I'm very good at, is creating myself work when I don't need to. I just need to just do what I'm meant to do and then go home.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I love it. Well, number one, thank you so much for taking your time out for today.
No, that's all right.
With your regimented plan. I love it. And I think particularly as well, at the moment in time, we've been completely chucked out of what our routine is, what we knew as, and we've got to find a new routine. You know,
that's it. It's adapting, isn't it? Adaptation. Like, that's another key takeaway, isn't it? Is how we have to adapt to a surrounding. And we did it with Olympia Boxing, like business. Talking about quitting, yeah. I know lots of companies and clubs that when we hit the first lockdown, just shut their doors. But I remember sitting in this office, actually, and I had one of my workers and one of my business partners here, and we had Boris on the tripod, and we were watching it as they said about school closures. And I was sitting here before we even got school, in the last 24 hours before the school closures, my emails were going ping, 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 ping with cancellation, cancellation, cancellation. I think at the time before the pandemic, we were delivering in 39 schools a week. And I think I lost 31 in 24-hour period. I literally just went ping, 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 like that. And I remember sitting here, we sat here, and this was like, so you think the first lockdown, we didn't know what we were walking into, did we, or anything like that.
It's
the complete unknown. And I'm sat here and we're watching Boris give his speech, and he said the word school closures, and I was like, shit, my business has just closed on me. Like, literally, it's just closed in that second. There's nothing we can do. Like, we've got the few community sessions, but that's not going to keep the business floating. Like, the schools are our main bread and butter. And we sat here and we were just like, shit, what are we going to do then? Mm-hmm. And we just all sat in silence, like we didn't know what to do. And said, what should we do? I said, well, come on. I said, first and foremost, let's go to the pub and have a pint. I said, and then we'll make our mind up. So that's what we did. We all got up. They said, what? I said, honestly, I said, come on, let's go and have a pint. So we went down to the pub down the road and we had a pint and I brought them dinner. We had dinner and we just sat down and just like, right, what are we going to do? How on earth are we going to get through this? Because I ain't going back to work in a factory. I'm not going, I've got to find a way through this. And literally that's when we said, right, well, but let's just go virtual. Let's run it through our laptops, through our phone at home, just get some tripods and off we go. And we literally did that from day one. Whereas so many people jacked in and just went, oh, well, I can't deliver face-to-face. That's a lot. We transformed. Well, don't get me wrong, this lockdown now, a lot of them are catching up. So we are having to make sure that we're improving our offer all the time. And,
of course.
And but we were miles ahead of everyone from that first lockdown. But I'd never done it. None of my coaches had ever done anything on camera. I hadn't done anything at all. So like our first sessions were awful. Like when you look back at them now, they're awful. You're stuttering, everything, like taking about 1,500 takes to get a video done and stuff like that. we're over that now, you know? So yeah. We're all of them are still like
you're online professionals
it.
Now.
Well, I wouldn't say professionals, but we're used to it, you know. It's
yeah,
it's that you just get we've got on it, we adapted straight away, and it's managed to keep our business alive a little bit. Don't get me wrong, we've had a huge hit, we've had over half. Like I said, at the minute, I think we're 28 or 30 sessions programs a week at the moment.
That's amazing.
It's keeping the lads busy, but that's usually 65. It's half of what we were used to doing.
But you're still doing what you're all passionate about, and it's still allowing
the lads are working. That's the main thing. The lads are working and they're earning. So,
and it also shows loyalty between you, your staff, so your coaches and your clients. You're showing your clients that you've got loyalty to them. You're not going to let this thing stop they love to do. And you're building that loyalty, that friendship, that community, the connection and the trust completely.
That's right. Yeah, you do, and you've got to be there, and you have to help everyone through it, don't you?
You do.
It's like the November, we were lucky. I think it was off like the November where we went to tier 4 and everything closed down again as lockdown 2.0, as we called that one. Like I think for the whole of November, I put on 3 virtual sessions every day of the week, morning and evening. But I didn't get no funding in for that. I did that off of our own back. Like that cost me money to run that. But off of that, that kept our community going. All the people that we serve, it kept them moving, gave them something. And then off the back of that, through our partner organisation, seeing what we were able to do, they then invested. So,
we
were able to drag in. Yeah, we were able to drag in some more investment to keep it all going.
Yeah.
Now, so which is the long term plan. And like you say, we didn't quit. We got it done.
Yeah.
Forward is forward.
Forward is forward. I like that.
It, remember that one. Forward is forward.
I will do. I'll be quoting that one, Wayne.
Forward is forward, it's not backwards. Never go backwards. Forward is forward.
No matter how big or small the step is.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I love it.
Gets there, doesn't it?
I know, it's going to keep going.
Even if we're back to face-to-face, there will still be some kind of virtual programs running. Yeah. If people want to see what we're up to, then the website is www.olympiaboxing.co.uk. You can find us on Facebook. We've got our page, Olympia Boxing CIC, and Twitter and Instagram, we're at Olympia Boxing. You can find all of us on there, what we're up to.
That's amazing. Thank you. And I will be putting all the details into the bio, and if anybody wants to jump onto you guys, then they can definitely.
We're easily contactable and we happily do work for anyone. So if any schools out there at all that want school programs, just let us know and we can get them out to you.
And don't quit.
Don't quit. Never quit. Forward is forward.
I love that.
I haven't heard that bell yet. That bell, last bell hasn't rung on us yet.
Oh, Wayne, my love, thank you so much. It's been so good to hear your story and everything, because I know you've been doing this boxing for so many years, but to actually share this moment with you and hear your story from behind the scenes of what you've experience, the training that you've gone into to get to where you are today. It's such a privilege to connect with you like this. So thank you so much for coming on.
No worries. No, pleasure.
Really appreciate it.
All right. Well, you take it easy and we will catch up soon, no doubt.
Yes, so, definitely keep me posted.
Might see you before August, if not, I'll see you when I'm on my bike.
Yeah, I know, right. I will definitely catch up with you soon, all right. Send my love to Emma, Archie and Esme, all right.
Will do. Take care. Speak soon.
Bye-bye.
Listening back to mine and Wayne's conversation really reiterated to me the amazing human he is. I remember coming off that video call in awe of his attitude and mindset, and realised I had barely known my cousin for years, and this was who he'd become. Before we round up today's episode, I'll remind you again, the link to donate towards Demelza and Wayne's challenge is in the show notes, so please do take a look and donate if you can. Coming up next week, I hope to have Amy join me, a yoga photographer. I met up with Amy in person November last year in Gold Coast, and she is a treasure.
As always, stay tuned and stay real. Join me every Wednesday for a Wholeness podcast. I'll catch you real soon. Peace, love, and light.